Welcome again. Some of you know our youngest son, Paul, and maybe more of you even know our daughter-in-law, Sarah. They have been in Knoxville, Tennessee for the last 4 years, and they are moving to Kansas City. Paul got a position at a children's hospital there, and next month they plan to move, so Sarah has been looking online for housing. It's a long ways away to travel and go look at places. So more than once she sent us a package of pictures and said, what do you think, and you know, sent this in an email around, and we'd put our 2 cents worth in, and she'd respond to the option, and it was taken. More than once this happened, you know, and so she said, well, does anybody know anybody in Kansas City that we can just kind of have boots on the ground, they can go and look at places for us? And so I responded, I said, here are 5 churches in the area. And she wrote back and said, I wasn't asking about churches, I know, but I know people in these churches. And she said, you know a lot of people. That's really not the case. I know some good people. These are the guys that joined Tim and me at pastors' conferences. I know people in these places. I know good people. I know people who will serve, who will be reliable. Jim McCotter was one of the founders of our little association of churches, and he said something to the effect that if you will run after the Lord for the rest of your life, you will work shoulder to shoulder with the highest caliber of men and women on the planet. And I think the Apostle Paul must have thought the same thing in writing chapter 16 of Romans. It seems to be like an addendum. I mean, it seemed to end in chapter 15. He had said, now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Sounded like the end of it. And then here's chapter 16 kind of stuck on, and here's a whole list of people that Paul wanted to call attention to. It's almost like he wanted to say hi to them, but the word that he used, that is used 19 times in this chapter, is translated, greet them. And it isn't just say hi, it actually means salute them. Salute some people. He wanted to draw attention to the works of certain individuals. He was essentially commanding the Roman church to salute these folks. He was calling attention to them. The first 2 verses are they're kind of revealing about the importance of quality individuals. This is what it says. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Centuria. Paul probably wrote this letter in Corinth. Centuria was about 7 miles on down the path. Pretty close church. He knew her, though. That you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. That is a pretty big honor. This is the Apostle Paul saying, here's somebody I want you to notice. Paul was not about himself. He commended this woman to them. In those days, you know, if somebody was performing the role of taking a message someplace, a lot of times there would be a letter that would go with it of introduction for the carrier, so that the person receiving the letter would know, this is an authentic letter. I have a letter of introduction to the carrier to know that they're actually taking a letter that I wrote. And that's probably what was going on here. For whatever reason, it seemed like Phoebe was going to Rome, and Paul entrusted this message to her. This woman, Phoebe, was known to be a servant. She may have been a deaconess, with words, but she could be trusted. Paul boasted of her deeds to the whole Roman church, and he said, she deserves whatever she asks of you, lodging or food or whatever she asks, she deserves it. Make sure she gets it. And think about this. It is because of this woman's faithfulness that we have the book of Romans. You know, there was only one letter written. It took quite a while to write, I imagine. At that time, there was only one letter written, and she had it. Because she was faithful, we have it. And maybe it's unlikely that she would have lost it, but don't let the importance of the mission that she was on pass you by. She was trusted with eternal truth, and she proved faithful to her job. And so Paul commended her to them. That word commend, it means to stand together or to bring together, come together with the purpose of the letter that she's carrying. Join her in the heart of this letter was the thought. Anyway, the point is she was a quality woman who was reliable in the gospel. And then Paul began to praise about 27 other people, at least that many, and he said, greet them, salute them, honor them. A good question might be, how did Paul know these people? He had never been to Rome. How did he know all these people who were in Rome? And it seems like at least a part of that answer was political. The Emperor Claudius had demanded in about AD 41 that all Jews leave Rome. And he died in about AD 54, so it would seem like some of them returned to Rome right after he died. That's what it seems like happened. Paul's letter was written sometime around 55 to 57, so it would be after that. And so Paul knew these believers in Rome, a lot of them. Colossians says the word of truth is bearing fruit, and it's increasing ever since the beginning of the church. It just keeps going. You cannot stop God. God can use all kinds of circumstances to move his people around in different places wherever he needs them, and that's what it seems to have happened here. Brought them into association with Paul. Paul rubbed on them a little while, got in, and they went right back. We're spreading the gospel there in Rome. But this has to be short this morning for the sake of our open mic, so I won't go through all of these people. Here are just a few of them, though. Priscilla and Aquila, dear, dear couple. They were called fellow workers and risk takers. They risked their lives, Paul said, for his skin. Don't know exactly what he was referring to, but probably they stood up for him. Probably maybe they housed him at their own peril. Whatever it was, Paul said, they risked their lives for him. Salute them. Recognize people like this, he said. This is one couple that we do know was kicked out of Rome because Luke, the doctor, wrote about it in Acts 18. He said that Priscilla and Aquila came to Corinth when Claudius had removed the Jews from Rome, and they met Paul at that time. But Paul was telling the church to salute them, so we know they were back in Rome. Anyway, they were workers and they were risk takers. Salute couples like that. There was a man named Epaphroditus. This is the first guy that Paul led to the Lord from Asia. And he had moved on to Rome to support that church plant. He was a courageous individual. Salute someone like that. This young brother was moving. Salute him. Salute him. And there was Mary. Mary was, what was she noted for? She worked hard. Mary worked hard. Salute someone who works hard. There was a man whom Paul said was approved in Christ. You don't become approved without passing a test. You don't get a diploma until you've passed your exams. This man, we don't know what the test was, but he had passed some kind of test, whether it's health or relational or personal struggle, we don't know. But he conquered. This is what we've been reading about in Romans. God's desire and design for us is to reign in life. And there are, you know, we're singing about that in our first song, you know, when I'm indifferent, his love remains. We go through a lot of cycles. That's okay. That's okay. We are headed for glory, and he is bringing us to a transformed life. And so this man, I think his name was Apelles, was approved in Christ. Salute someone like that. There were leaders of house churches. Some were led by some couples. One house church was led by five guys. I don't know if they were roommates, but that can work. I've been there. That can work really, really well. I love to tell this. We'll probably get into this in the next series. I lived with eight guys on two occasions, and it was profoundly impactful. Salute guys that get along like that and labor in the gospel together. There was a brother and sister that Paul said, there, that's what I'm talking about. That's what a family should be. Brother and sister laboring together in harmony in the gospel. Nereus and his sister. His sister isn't named. Salute someone like that. There was a woman named Persis. It just means a Persian woman. That's what her name means. But she was called the beloved. She was probably a really sweet lady, but you know what she's noted for? She worked very hard. She had worked hard in the gospel. And my question for us again this morning, is that our expectation? Do we plan on this? These men and women served as if the Lord was coming back really soon so they could afford to spend it all. And you know what? That's why Paul said, your faith is known throughout the whole world. They stood out. They stood out in a crowd. Again, I ask you as I, let me do one more. One more. I got to do this one. One of my favorites in Paul's list is Rufus's mom. All we know, she was Rufus's mom, and she was a mom to Paul. Ooh, we're saying something now. This woman had a powerful, positive impact. Salute them. We just did that a month ago on Mother's Day. Amen. So again, I ask you, as I did a few weeks ago, what's going to be the culture of Lifehouse? When people come into Lifehouse, what do they observe? Do they see us serving one another? You know, Luke was relating this morning that only two commands, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's enough. But it takes a servant's heart in order to carry these things out, doesn't it? It takes a servant's heart to forgive. It takes a servant's heart to reprove, for that matter. And so humility becomes an extremely, extremely important factor in our midst. I have been reading in 1 Kings and amazed at Solomon's life and the outcome of his life. God had told him, don't you get involved with all kinds of women, and he did. 700 wives, 300 concubines. And what it says, though, is that Solomon, God was angered at Solomon, to whom he had appeared twice. And God expects us to remember the epiphany moments in our hearts and go back there and say, yeah, I know, I remember. We're all like this. We are all wild at heart. And we have to go back. Oh, yeah, reconnect. Solomon didn't. Down he went. Solomon wrote, watch over your heart with all your diligence. And he didn't carry it out himself. Will people see you and me serving one another the way these people serve? No wonder they reached the world. No wonder their faith went throughout the whole world. This is profound. What do you want to be known for? What do you want your legacy to be? God is at work in you, both to be willing and to be enabled to do his will, Philippians says. I think he's doing it here. It is by his deeds, Proverbs says, that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is good and right. Aunt and I were in Ames this week. We did a house down there for a friend, and so we stayed with Tim and Jess, our oldest. And Tim said to me, "Aunt's growing." And that is not a short joke, Aunt. And perhaps what he was referring to is that while Tim and I were talking, Aunt just picked up our dishes, our dirty dishes. This is for real. This is for real. Are you a servant? Don't miss this truth that God is looking for ordinary people who will trust him to do extraordinary things. This is just the way it is. We are the perfect bunch for this. We really are. There's nobody in here that I know of that's of noble birth. We got no labels on us. See, pride is the greatest hindrance to God's ability to work. If I think I am something, I limit God from doing something. We don't. We don't think we're anything. God can use us if we will but walk with him. May God be praised by the progress in faith and obedience in faith of each one of us. Luke is here, so here we go. I have a C.S. Lewis quote. "It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you'd be strongly tempted to worship." This is what God is doing here in Lifehouse, in hearts, through hearts. This is our hope. This is our aspiration. One day, very soon, we'll stand before Jesus and he will honor every single deed of faith. Wow. Paul simply was getting ahead of the game a little bit. He said, "I'm going to honor them too. Salute these ones. Look to these. Imitate their faith." The only thing that stands between where we are now and where he's leading us is consistent renewal of our minds, according to Romans 12. We can let God do this. So we'll be on the Romans 16 or 17 list or whatever, however you think about it. But I have such great aspirations for us because we're the right bunch. We're nothingness enough. If we will only submit regularly, regularly, regularly submit. You got to. You're no more virtuous than I am. We must submit ourselves to the Word of God on a regular basis, that our minds would be transformed because we don't think the way God thinks. And then allow him to work. And there'll be a testing moment when I've always been this way, but you're calling me to that, and I don't know if I can do it. And you step out just like the priest stepping into the Jordan, and the Jordan parts, and away you go. God won't give his power and his display of power until you need it, until you step out there and do something extraordinary that he's called you to do. It'll be according to your gifting, according to Romans chapter 12. And Paul said in Romans 12, just display it. Live according to the faith that God leads you in, but you can't do that unless you're consistent in the scriptures. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. There's nothing like it, and you're already equipped with the Holy Spirit if you have Jesus Christ. And Romans 8 said that his kids are led this way. This is how we live. This is it. This is the only way we live. To be led by the Spirit. You cannot be led by the Spirit without being in the Word of God. It just doesn't work that way. We're too dumb. We're too earthy. Earthy is a better word. And so, anyway, may God make us part of the list of Romans 16. I tell you, heaven is going to be one big party. It is going to be one big honoring party. We might as well honor each other here for deeds of faith, for faithfulness, for consistency, for skills that we learn, because we're going to be honoring one another in a coming day. So let me pray, and then we'll invite you up here, share what's on your heart, especially from Romans, if you would. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you're such a positive person. You know, how good can it be that the creator of the universe, the one who's responsible for it all, is a positive being? Oh God, I pray you'd make us like you. I know you're doing it. I know you're working on it. Here we open our hearts. Do it in a big way in Jesus' name. Amen. The mic is open.